if I know I'm loved by him, then, you know, if you don't like me, it's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I know y'all like me, so I'm not worried about that. But, you know, greatest experience, I was just sitting there worshiping. I felt this rush of wind come by me. I thought, it's the Holy Spirit. I looked over. No, it was Justin. It just, he came right through. Yeah, yeah. The Holy Spirit's in Justin for sure. Hallelujah. We serve a supernatural God. Amen. And again, like we were saying on Sunday, there's so many things out there to be afraid of, but we don't have to be afraid of anything. Come on, if God be for us, right? Who can be against us, right? And the love of God, you know, is just so good. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to continue where we left off, and we'll just see where we go tonight. Amen? I'm just convinced that there's more revelation that God wants to give to us than we've ever seen before. And again, it's not so that we can go around and, you know, put our chest out and go, I'm super Christian, right? But it's because God wants to use us supernaturally. Thank you for your enthusiasm, right? He wants to use us supernaturally, but what we don't understand is that he's already done a lot of things that we just have to believe him for. And when we really truly believe him, then we'll act on it. Come on. I'll just act like it's true. Again, for instance, if the Holy Spirit is in you and he tells you to go witness to somebody, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you the words in the selfsame hour to speak, then why are you rehearsing it? Right? Why are you going, oh, you know, when they come up, I'm going to say this, 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 and that, and that, and this, and this, and this. Man, I mean, that is how we mess it up, right? And so we just have to trust God. God, you want me to go talk? I'll go talk. David said it this way, man, Lord, I'll open my mouth, you fill it. Come on, is God capable of doing that? For who? Everyone. But no, really not everyone, everyone who believes. And there'll be evidence if you believe because you'll act on it. See, the difference between somebody who's just a, you know, I believe in thought or believe in word, you know, I believe. Well, not really. Because if you really believe, you'll act on it. Saying it over and over again, don't make it so. Right? You know, it's like somebody says, I'll come help. And they're never there. Well, thank you, but you know, I believe I will. I believe you won't. Anyway, your actions have said something different. So we stopped in verse 17, but I'm going to go back to, let's just start in verse 13. It says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'll tell you how we read this a lot of times. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that we need and barely getting through. And boy, it's going to be good when I get to heaven. I'll be able to stand. But that's not what he's talking about. He said when evil days come, right, when they come, you'll be able to stand if you do this. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, right? So it's like we've got to get bulldog determination that, bless God, when I get on me what I need to have on me, then I'm standing. Come on, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what virus is out there. It doesn't matter what people say against me. It doesn't matter if everybody is against, you know, the Word of God or if you know, I'm going to stand. I'm standing on the Word of God. Now watch this. This is so good. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and put on your breastplate of righteousness and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, We talked about all that. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, which will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, the shield of faith, what is that? That's simply, now listen, and this might ruffle some feathers, but there is, you know, what faith are you of? Well, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? Well, I believe in Jesus. That's the faith. But the shield of faith is how much the Word of God has penetrated you and it's being lived out of you. In other words, it's kind of like, you know, the enemy comes at us, fear comes at us, and so we quote three scriptures, and then we succumb to the faith, to the fear, and we act out of fear. And we do, but the shield of faith is one that says, "No, God said it, and I'm standing on that." Right. So whatever the enemy comes at, whatever lies comes at me, I'm going to quench that dart with the shield of faith. Right. And we're going to talk about another couple things here in a minute, but the shield of faith. My faith is out there to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. But you can't do that unless you put the Word of God on the inside of you. Right? And I think that the Word of God is a lot like manna. And what do I mean by that? You know, with the manna that they had when they were out in the desert, Moses and manna out there in the desert, they couldn't save it for tomorrow, right? They could, you know, on a Friday, because Saturday they couldn't work, but the rest of the week they had to get the manna on the day that they needed it, right? And so I think the Word of God is like that. We can't go on the Word that we heard 20 years ago. We got to have fresh manna every day. And here's what the cool thing is you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And one of the things that I like to do is, like, especially when I'm facing something, I get alone, I ask, Holy Spirit, what word do I need for this? What word do I need for this? And He begins to put that word on the inside of me. And then I begin to use that against the thing that's trying to attack me. Right? But if I'm going, well, you know, I heard a sermon that was really good. It was on YouTube. I heard it 3 weeks ago. And maybe I can call that pastor up and he can work it for me, because I'm not there. No. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to me. You know, in Romans chapter 10, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that faith is built on the Word of God, but in actuality, go to Romans chapter 12, and let's just look at this for a minute. I want you to see this. Somebody said, well, I just don't have enough faith. Well, I don't believe that. I said, I don't believe that. Now, watch this. Let's go down to verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, that's the basis for faith right there, right? For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given you faith. God, give me more faith. No. God, help me to use the faith that you've already given me. We know that faith can grow. And we know that there's different levels of faith. Jesus, when he was on the earth, he said, oh, ye of little faith. Another, and for aura purposes, I'm going to use it this way. I'm going to say that the Jews were the Christians and all of the other people were the non-Christians. So I know that wasn't the case, but watch this. You know, when he said, oh man, I've not seen such great faith even all in Israel. Or even, you know, the centurion who was a Roman, he said, man, great your faith, right? What I'm saying is that oftentimes it's people that are outside of the church that have genuine faith, and the people on the inside are faking it. Thank you for your enthusiasm, but it's because we become religious in our faith rather than living in our faith. Right? God's already given me faith. I don't need to ask God for faith. What I need to do is be like the man who said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Because it's your unbelief that keeps your faith from working. Right? We're talking about the shield of faith. See, it's kind of like, well, the devil's really attacking me, and it's getting into me, and it's God, come do something. And God is really saying, I've already done something. But you have to enforce what I've done. Again, your faith is not in you. Your faith is not in your faith. Your faith is in what He's done. Right? God, have you already conquered the devil for me? That's a lie. God, have you already said you'd supply all of my needs according to your... That's a lie. I mean, we do so many things. I heard this today. It was so cool. We do so many things that are just ridiculous. How about this? Somebody's, you're with somebody, you've been with them for a while, and you go, look, well, God go with you. Well, that's a stupid thing to say. Why? Why is that a stupid thing to say? Because He said He'd never leave you to forsake you. Yeah. So it's obvious that God's going to go with me. Yes. Right? But yet we just... Yeah. Yeah, true. And so what I'm saying is that our faith needs to be in a living relationship with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And when that comes to us, it's like, then we can stand. If it's yesterday's manna, or if it's on some, you're trying to apply something today that maybe you had victory over yesterday, but you haven't spent the time with the Holy Spirit letting Him refresh that in your heart. Come on. So it's like, I want the shield of faith. I want the shield of faith, but I need to be in a living relationship with the Lord in order for that shield to be fresh. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's kind of like, okay, Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to get into this one. I think this is so cool. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. What is that? Of course, we read in Romans chapter 12, it says to renew your mind to the Word of God. But really, the helmet is the thing that protects your brain. I was with in a meeting with a few people today, and there was a lady in there that she's like only 4'11". And here's what she did. And she's not a young lady, but she was going to put a sign above her cabinets, in her kitchen. So she got a ladder to get up onto the countertop. And then she got a bucket to stand on to get up to... Well, she ended up on the floor. Right? And had a pretty good gash in her head and everything. She's fine and everything, but it's kind of like, what are you thinking? And I said, we're going to get a helmet for you. Right? We're going to get a helmet. I don't care if it's a ski helmet, a bike helmet, whatever, but you're going to wear a helmet. Right? It's a bucket to protect your brain. Right? In fact, riding bikes, right? What do we call them? It's the brain bucket. Right? And I've known some people who've been in motorcycle accidents before that they were... You had to have one, and they became brain dead because they didn't have one, right? So the helmet is something that protects your brain. So the helmet of salvation is something that guards your thoughts. guards your thinking. But it's not just a helmet, it's the helmet of salvation. Well, what is salvation? Well, I'm saved, bless God. Yes, but salvation is much more than my ticket is punched and I'm going to get to heaven. Salvation means that I have a relationship with Almighty God. Salvation means that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Salvation means that He's already delivered me from the power of the enemy. Salvation means that I'm no longer of my father, the devil, but I have a father in heaven. Right? Ken and Terry were talking, and you know, they both have the glory hair. Right? Glory hair, right? Yeah. And so Ken said, well, you know, we're brothers of another mother. I said, no, you're brothers of a common father.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? Right? Because of the salvation that's been brought to us. And so we put this helmet on. It speaks of our relationships. It speaks of everything. But I want you to notice we're in chapter 6, but go back to chapter 1 for just a minute and look at this. We've got to get inside of the helmet what salvation has already produced in us. Thank you. Come on. Now look at this. Verse 15 says, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, salvation, right? That's what that says. I've heard you got saved. I heard you have salvation. After I've heard of your salvation and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him.
Yes.
So it goes on, but the point is that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal who God is to you, and it's part of your salvation. But watch this, it's not something that you're going to get, it's something that you already have. He says, I want you to have this revealed to you. Since you've been saved, this is who you are. And I want that to become a revelation to you. And the helmet of salvation keeps that in your mind rather than letting all the other trash take over your mind. That's why you have to renew your mind. Why? Because your thinking before you got saved was messed up. And anything outside of what God has produced in you because of what Jesus did is messed up thinking. So the helmet of salvation means I need to get my renewed mind to what God has said about me and what salvation has produced in me. I mean, things like, you know, I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm redeemed. He who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I need something to protect that. I need the helmet around that salvation so that I'm not letting the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But he's seeking, the thief, the devil comes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Without the helmet of salvation, you're susceptible to him blowing your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I need to go over and constantly say, now, Holy Spirit, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? No, I don't want to be arrogant. And look, it's obvious that I am who I am because of what He did, not because I'm anything. Right? I'm nothing without Him, but I'm not without Him. That's the point. I have salvation, and I need that to be over me all the time in my thinking and everything that I'm doing. It'll actually even keep you out of, you know, wrong thinking. And did you know that wrong thinking leads you to wrong actions? Right? Come on. If he said he's my justifier, but I'm not walking in the light of that part of my salvation, then I'm going to say, I need to justify myself. Because that's the old man. And so I need that helmet on so that I don't go do something stupid. I don't say something stupid. Does this make sense? We need the helmet of salvation on us, and it's not, it's more than just a little Christian exercise. It's like, first of all, Holy Spirit, reveal that to me. And then I'm asking, you know, by my continuing to stay in my relationship with you, remind me of what you said. How many need reminders every once in a while? Right? Come on. Renita gave me a list to go to the store. I said, please text that to me.
Yeah, me too.
But then I got to read the text. It's a complicated thing, right? Because I can come home without what is even on the text. But it's happened. It's happened. Pray for me. But watch this. Watch this. We all need to have an understanding that I need this. But what's cool about it is there must be a lot to the salvation thing that God wants us to protect it in our mind.
Amen.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Now, let's. I could go on with that, but let's go on to the next one. Watch this. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's really interesting. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Everything else up to this point has been defensive in nature. You know, put on the breastplate, put the belt of truth that everything else hangs on, and take the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet, all of that. It's been defensive in nature. But once you have your defenses on, it's time to get up, kick butt, and take names. So the sword, watch this, is an offensive weapon that we're supposed to slay the enemy with. Right? But not just out there, I'm a Christian, bless God, I'm going to not other Christians. I'm not going to beat up, look at this, I'm not even going to beat up the world with the word. You'll get that in a minute. I'm not going to beat up the, because I've already put the, you know, my feet already have the good news on it. But this is the Word of God that will come against the enemy in his stances. You know, in other words, it's like this. I'm standing not from a place of judgment over what I see people doing, because I'm not fighting flesh and blood. But Satan, I'm coming after your kingdom. And I'm going to do it with the Word of God. And so you find scriptures to attack the devil and ask the Holy Spirit, what scripture do I use today? Right? We got a stronghold over here of, you know, drug abuse or whatever. All right, what word am I going to use today? What am I going to... You know, a sword is no good if it's left in its saber. It's only when it's pulled out and wielded that it has any effect. So watch this. This does no good. This and watch this. This does good, but it's not the sword of the Spirit. When you get the word in your mouth and you begin to speak it, it becomes the sword. It becomes the sword. Now watch this. Who do you speak it at? Well, I believe you speak it over yourself. And look what it can do for yourself. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This is so good. It's so good. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it says in verse 12, "For the Word is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." The Word's alive. When you speak the Word, now watch this, when you speak the Word, heaven and hell come to attention. Heaven and hell come to attention. Demons are afraid of it, but angels react to it. When you speak the Word over, it's sometimes I think angels are, you know, because did you know that you all have angels? You all brought an angel in with you tonight? So there's at least that many angels here and probably more, right? But they're sitting there like this. Why? Because you haven't used your sword yet. But when you get your sword out, it's sharp and it's powerful. The power of God is behind it. Woo! It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I love this, and we could go a long way into this, but we'll watch this. It says that it's to it piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. I think the Word of God is the only thing that can get your spirit and your soul to designate themselves. In other words, is this coming from my head or is this coming from my spirit? Is this coming from my emotions, my logic, my reason, or from my spirit? Well, get the Word of God and it'll show you where it's coming from. You begin to meditate on the Word. Where's it coming from? And here's another thing. When you're looking for a leading from God, it's like, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm going through. You know what I need. This is my thinking, but I know my thinking can get messed up at times. So I need you to show me through your Word how to think. And He'll use that to divide your soulish thinking, but your spirit's thinking. Come on. Come on, come on. The Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. Look at that. It's even a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You ever really wonder what's in your heart? You think you'd know, but we really don't. And then, is it what's in my heart really right? Or does it need to be adjusted? Well, the Word will adjust your heart. The Word will adjust your heart. And the Holy Spirit will use the Word to get your heart. See, I believe, now, I mean, you can go on YouTube and get many different teachings on this, but I believe the heart is where all the aspects of man come together. I think the soul, the spirit, and the flesh all intertwine in the heart, right? But it's the spirit of man that we want to be led by. Why? Because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells, right? That's where the new creature is. That's where the communication with God happens, right? But we want the Word of God to act in us as the diviner of whether that thought is from our intellect or from the Spirit of God. So how does that work? There have been many times in my own life where there's something going on in our lives and I just said, Lord, I need some help. I need some discernment. I need to know which way to go. I need to know if I'm right. I need to know. And the Holy Spirit will lead me. Lead me to a scripture. And I mean, it can come simply like this, and it's happened to me more than one time, several times, often actually. I'll be thinking, Lord, what I need a word, what, you know. And He'll say, turn to, Isaiah 13. And I'll turn there and I'll read it, and I don't get anything the first time. Read it again. I read it again. Don't get it. Read it again. All of a sudden something pops up. And it gives me direction, because that's how powerful it is. So the sword is the spirit. So now watch this. When that happens, I now have the weapon to use against the situation that I'm facing. And it does work. It does work. And but I can't just think, well, that was a good word. I've got to speak that. I've got to talk to myself about that word. And when fear comes, I've got to use that word to counteract. When this happens, watch this. This is really cool, the way it all works together. When that happens, there will be something that comes to your heart that gives you peace in your heart. And so what happens right then? I have faith. I know it's going to be all right. Circumstance might not have changed, but I know in the inside that this is the direction and God's got me. And so as the other thoughts keep coming to me, I'm taking the sword and I'm whacking them out of the air. Come on, because the sword of the Spirit is working in me. Isn't that good? It's so good. And it happens. Well, I'll tell you this. It'll happen as often as you allow God to let it happen. Right? Again, if you're not involved with this on a daily basis, or if you're not involved with it, you think, oh, you know, I'm in real trouble. Now I need to get busy with God. Right? And we've all been there. We've all, you know, life happens and, you know, we haven't been doing what we should do, and then we get in trouble with something. Help! You know. And he's so gracious, he does, but that's not the way to live. Right? That's all the defensive side of it. In fact, that's a helpless side. That's like calling your big brother when you can't beat the guy up that's in, you know, you're in a fight with. Help! Yeah. And then Vern comes in. Well, anyway, but it's like, no, Lord, I need this all the time. So back to Ephesians chapter 6. So I need to take the sword of the Spirit. I need to wield the sword of the Spirit. I need to be speaking the word over my thoughts. I need to speak the word over Satan's dominion. I need to speak the word over trouble. I need to speak the word against anything that doesn't line up with the word of God. If you're feeling rejected, you need the word of God to counteract that rejection. But you can't just have the word of God on a 3x5 card somewhere. You've got to be speaking it out of your mouth to enforce it. Right? And not from a position of, well, I hope this works. No, this is what the word says. Bless God. And especially if you'll begin to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the word to kind of dwell on. I think devotionals are awesome, right? And I think, you know, scripture of the day and people that use them, it's amazing how God will use that. Wow, man, I really needed that today. But how about asking the Holy Spirit for your word for the day? How about waking up in the morning and start reading and say, now, Lord, what do I need to get out of this? Right? And he can use any portion of the scripture to give you direction, give you correction. Amen? But when he gives it to you, you need to use it out of your mouth. Yes, Judy. Well, here's the deal. He already believes it, but he's trying to get you to doubt it. And so when you stand up and begin to declare it, And even if there's a little, you know, you can doubt in your head, but believe in your heart. Did you know that? I mean, your spirit can still believe. So you take the word of God and you begin to speak it and speak it and speak it. And it's from a position of, I'm declaring this over myself, no matter if the circumstances don't change, right? But the enemy is going to try to talk you out of it, right? But that's when you know, oh, I'm onto something here. You know, circumstances are coming against me. But that's where we go back to having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. I'm standing on this word. I'm going to speak this word. I'm going to continue to speak this word no matter what comes against me. Just turn there, and I'll just show you this. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. But Isaiah 42, and I've used this constantly, and I've helped other people with this particular scripture. But years ago, I needed this scripture, and the Lord supernaturally led me to this scripture. It's Isaiah 42 and verse 10, going through something, and the Lord gave me this. And then I went to a prayer meeting, an intercessory prayer meeting, and the pastor said, Bruce is going through such and such, and he didn't really give the details, but he said, we need to pray for him. And I'll never forget, a guy came up to me, I got a scripture for you. And it was this scripture, right? I said, cool. I mean, I might be hard-headed, but I can, you know, finally it'll sink in, right? Where are we at? 42. Wait a minute. Did I say 42? I meant 41:10. 41:10. 41:10. Fear not. Or fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, I got that scripture, but I had to stand on that scripture. And when fear came, because in this particular instance, there were some people that were against us, and it was, you know, it was one that I was fighting a lie, actually, you know. And so we're going to go on in the scripture, but God gave me the scripture. Amen. And so I could stand in this scripture. But it said, fear not, so what did I have to do? I had to stand against fear. Right? Just because God said fear not didn't mean that fear didn't try to come back. Like the enemy came back and said, well, that's not going to work. You're going down. You're going to lose everything, you know. They're going to come through. You're going to look bad. You're going to, you know, all of these things. But listen to what he goes on to say. Behold, all of those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will uphold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Now, I had to reinforce that, and it wasn't a long period of time, but at the time, it seemed like a long period. We're talking a couple of months. But I can remember the day where this day, it seemed like the pressure was on. But then the next day, they were nowhere to be found. And they never came back. Watch. But it's because God gave me a word. And that word was the sword of the Spirit. But I had to use that word in order to stand, in order for the victory to come. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like, Holy Spirit, show me. In fact, I think, how many have ever been in the situation where you go, I don't know what to do? Right? Come on. God, I don't know what to do. Or first of all, that's not true, but that's the enemy telling you confusion. Because he said, any of you lack wisdom? What's wisdom? Knowing what to do. Let him ask of God, who give liberally and will upbraid not. So the minute that you ask, you should turn that around and say, I know what to do. What? Whatever God shows me to do. And it's on the way. Right? So even though I don't necessarily know what my next step is, I know my first step is seeking Him. Come on. And I'm going to use the Word of God against the thoughts that are coming against what I know in my heart to be true. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. So again, this is not just a little spiritual exercise that we can, you know, maybe even do a painting of and you know, have it on our wall. But this is something that's real, that's effective, that's relational. This is all things that come out of our relationship with God that was produced by Jesus the Christ. The word coming out of my mouth would have no effect if my relationship with God wasn't produced by the blood of Jesus. Because I wouldn't have legal authority to yield it. But now, because I'm a child of God, He's given me that authority. All right. This is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go with me to Acts, the book of Acts. Have you ever seen something in the Word and God and go, whoa, I've read that before, but I didn't see that. Well, what is that all about? Acts chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, Look at us. And he gave them attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look at, he didn't say, What God has up in heaven I give unto you. He said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. Something that resides in me that I can give to you. That's incredible. So in other words, when we're praying for somebody, it's not like, Lord, bless them, or Lord, you know, heal them, or Lord, it's like, I've got the Spirit of God on the inside of me that's given me spiritual gifts. And out of those spiritual gifts, you receive what I have. Now, God gets all the glory, right? God gets all the glory. I'm not saying I'm anything, but what I am saying, that I need to know who I am to be effective for you. So taking on the all of these things, it's like, Lord, I need to have that on so that when I go out into the world and act my part of the body of Christ, I can be effective. So that when you come up to somebody that's demon-possessed, I mean demon-possessed, have you ever seen anybody slither on the ground? I have. Well, I'll tell you, this was in a meeting in Africa, we were in Uganda. I had a word of knowledge, and a lady, you know, it was a healing, it was miracle night, they called it. And so I'm preaching on a Friday night, miracle night, and I got a word of knowledge that somebody was having trouble with their left knee. And this lady came up, and the minute I put my hand on her, she started going to convulsions, and Christian lady. Glory to God. What did I do? I said, well, I'm out of here. We're come on, pack up the babies, grab the old ladies. We're going home. Right? No. Right? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, come out of her. She got delivered and healed. She got delivered. Why? Because I'm some great hotshot? No, I'm nobody. But I'm somebody because he made me somebody. And that's the armor that I have to put on so that I can be effective for him in the kingdom. So everything that Jesus has done is all about Jesus. But it's produced in the church, a group of people that are supposed to be his ambassadors walking around in the authority that he's given to us from heaven. But if we don't know and aren't walking in that authority, then people are not being touched the way they could be because we lack a knowledge, a revelation, a spirit of revelation into the knowledge of him, right? So it's like, okay, Lord, help me with this. My putting on my armor is essential for you. And that's the whole purpose of it. It's not just about me. It's about me having an effect on myself, my family, my neighbors, this world. Come on. And sometimes you don't have to do it out loud. But you see, Christians have left like the schools up to the devil rather than speaking the word over the schools. Come on, we need to come back to the word of God. And I was going to get a lot further tonight, but I didn't. But next week or the next time I'm here, we'll talk about prayer. Amen. We'll talk about all of this leading us into prayer. And again, prayer is speaking to God, but speaking with God and to God from a position of humility, but also from a position of sonship. That's so important. It's like, Lord, I know that, you know, outside of you, I don't even deserve to call your name, but you made me worthy, and that gives me authority to stand against what the enemy's trying to do in my home and in my church and in my government and my, you know, we complain about the government, but do we ever really stand in our position against and for the government? You might have even heard people say, well, you know, I mean, that's Washington, D.C. Bless God, it's got demons everywhere. Well, where's the church? If we really knew our authority and stood in the armor of God like we're supposed to, we could go into that situation and say, I don't think so. Not here. Does that make sense? So, y'all get something tonight? Amen, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for encouragement tonight. We thank you, Lord, for just a reminder, Lord, of who you've made us to be. And Lord, we just want to ask you, Holy Spirit, to forgive us for not keeping you at the forefront of our minds. But tonight we just release our wills into your hands and say, Lord, use us. Use us tonight. When we get up to speak to somebody or we, you know, teach somebody or whatever, we're just going to expect that you're going to use us powerfully. And Lord, we just thank you for the offering tonight as it goes for youth and children. Lord, we just thank you, praise you, honor you, God. We give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.